If Fast and Furious Part 6 is in your end of the school year movie queue, NSTA reviewer Jacob Lickenstaff has some ideas for using this cautionary tale of relative motion and frame of reference as a classroom conversation starter.
It's summertime, and movies emphasizing action and minimizing thinking are no doubt topping the box office lists. I jump on that bagwagon this month with a look at an installment on the Fast and Furious series. Now, this series began in 2001 with The Fast and the Furious, and has continued through 6 sequels set all over the world, featuring more and more spectacular jumps, flips, rolls, and explosions by increasingly tricked-out vehicles. The 7th film in the Fast and Furious collection opened in May, and I'd not seen more than brief clips of the previous 6. Now, rather than start with the latest, I decided to go back and look at the 6th film, which includes some spectacular stunts and is available on streaming and DVD. With so many hours of screen time, it's perhaps unsurprising that there have been plot twists and shifts in allegiance throughout the movies. The main characters are Dominic Toretto, played by Vin Diesel, Brian O'Connor, played by Paul Walker, and Letty Ortiz, played by Michelle Rodriguez. Dwayne Johnson plays a special agent, Luke Hobbs, in episodes 5, 6, and 7. Also, you should know that Paul Walker was killed in a car accident before filming for Furious 7 was completed, so some digital tricks were employed to finish that film. Toretto leads a crew of street racers who find various reasons to drive cars very, very fast in each of the movies. O'Connor is initially a police officer trying to catch Toretto and put him in jail, but by the end of the first film, he switched sides and joins the crew. By the 6th film, both O'Connor and Toretto are trying to settle down and live quiet lives, but Luke Hobbs tracks them down to help keep another expert driver and his crew from stealing all the components of a secret weapon.
Last week, a team of highly coordinated drivers took down an entire military convoy.
You know Rio was my last job.
Oh, I know you didn't do it. But you're gonna help me take down the team that did.
And why is that, Hobbs?
Fast and furious driving ensues as Toretto and his team chase a former military special operative named Owen Shaw, played by Luke Evans, across Europe. A physics concept all the Fast and Furious movies illustrate is relative motion and frame of reference. Two cars going 150 kilometers per hour in the same direction are moving very fast compared to the ground, but are motionless compared to each other. In the frame of reference of the Earth, they're moving very fast, but in the frame of reference of one car, the other car is stationary. Characters in Fast and Furious frequently take advantage of this fact, leaping from one moving vehicle to another. In principle, this shouldn't be too difficult. If the two cars are moving the same speed, it's the same as if they were both sitting still. There are two wrinkles to worry about, however. First, if you're moving really fast compared to the air around you, the wind can exert a significant force on you, and during the time you're in the air between cars, it could slow you down quite a bit. Second, missing your footing will have some serious consequences. Falling off a car going 150 kilometers per hour onto pavement is not going to end well, particularly if you're wearing just a tank top, jeans, and boots. In Fast and Furious 6, Agent Hobbs takes the leaping from car to car into the third dimension, jumping from a truck onto a car about 10 meters below him. This should work. Vertical and horizontal motion are independent of each other. At the same time, 10 meters is a fairly long drop, equal to the highest platform in Olympic diving, and Hobbs would be going about 50 kilometers per hour straight down when he landed. This is certainly survivable, but would very likely cause some injuries. Late in the movie, we see another spectacular chase scene on a desert freeway that includes a tank rolling over dozens of regular cars.
Guys, they got a tank.
Damn.
It ends when Toretto and his crew are able to use a car as an anchor to flip the tank, which looks just as over the top as it sounds. This chase also includes what is now known as the jump. Perhaps you've already heard about this moment of fanciful physics from Fast and Furious 6. If not, I suggest going on the internet, searching for 12 times Fast and Furious failed physics and logic, and watching clip number 12 before continuing. I'll pick out just a couple of crazy things about this jump. Conservation of momentum. Momentum is the product of mass and velocity, meaning it's a vector quantity and direction is important. When objects collide, momentum is conserved, so the total momentum before the collision is equal to the total momentum after the collision. Toretto and Letty are flying toward each other at an acute angle, and when they collide, they appear to keep moving in basically the same direction as Toretto was going before he caught her. This violates conservation of momentum because Letty had momentum in the direction she was going, and it can't just disappear. Letty's momentum should have carried them more nearly parallel to the road, and they would have fallen between the bridges rather than landing on the car. Landing on the car. Toretto has gathered Letty in his arms, turns his body, and lands on the windshield of a car with his back to the glass. Both are unharmed. It is possible to estimate how much acceleration they would have experienced in that landing, and I've done that calculation, which appears in the online and print versions of this podcast. The result of my calculation is that they decelerated or slowed down by about 6,000 meters per second squared, which is equivalent to more than 600 Gs. In car crash simulation, 75 Gs is used as a fatal collision for an average male. So even granting that Toretto is far from average, this is certainly a deadly collision. There is, of course, much more that a physics teacher can object to in this movie, and I leave it to readers and listeners to pick out some of the other moments to analyze carefully. If you'd like to examine some similar scenes from earlier installments of the franchise, go back to that search that I recommended you do earlier. Note, Fast and Furious 6 is rated PG-13 for intense sequences of violence and action and mayhem throughout, some sexuality and language. I also suggest using only short clips to avoid frequent sexist representations that appear throughout the film.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.